For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, ready to roll. I'm Vic Porcelli. That is Ken Williams over there. Mark Carter from the St. Louis County Council joins us at 10:25. More Christmas presents for you. I'm sorry, Mark Carter at 10:41. Christmas presents at 10:25. And right now, our guest is an American political author, commentator, campaign consultant, all-around genius. And I say that because he worked with the Clintons and he's still alive. Look at him. Dick Morris, how are you?
Good. You know, when I used to work at Fox, Roger Ailes would ask me, do you think the Clintons are going to come after me and, you know, kill me? And I said, well, Roger, I'll be a canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
If I'm alive, you're okay.
And you flew out. You flew out of the coal mine alive, and here you are today. Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's right.
All right. So, boy, there's so much stuff to talk about. Dick, that I don't even know where to start, but I want to try to fit in as much as possible. And if we could start with this guy, Jim Baker, who, as a lawyer, was in on the whole Russian hoax thing, right? The Trump hoax thing. And then he worked at Twitter, and he was suppressing files that were released to Matt Taibbi and then eventually Barry Weiss coming up soon. But what about this guy? What a cheat. What a creep.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll learn that and more in what I expect will be the House hearings about the suppression of the laptop and the Twitter conspiracy with the Democrats and the government. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about the Georgia runoff yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to get there, but sure, go ahead.
Okay. As you know, we lost by 1 point.
Right.
But why do we keep losing elections? And the answer, in my view, is not that we have bad candidates, not even that we're underfunded, not Trump fatigue syndrome or something. The reason we're losing elections is that the Democrats have learned and taught their constituents how to vote, and we have not. Yeah. Our people still vote the same old way on election day, lining up in person. They're even proud of how it feels to do that. I understand that. But the Democrats have taken advantage of modern technology, and they vote by mail. They vote early during 10 and 20 and sometimes 40 days early.
Oh, no. Dick, your phone cut out. I hope you're still there. Okay. We'll wait to see if that reconnects. He disappeared, Ken. I don't know what's going on. But I don't hear him.
Nick, you there? Not. I'll give him a shot.
The line just cut right out. He's right. The Democrats have learned how to vote, right? And he's also right on the pride that we took in standing in line to vote. Okay, listen, it's been warm lately. On election days for a while now, but I had a vote coat. I called it my vote coat. It was my long black coat, and it had an American flag pin on the lapel, and that was the coat I always wore when it was time to go vote. And it was a pride. I'm voting in an election in a constitutional republic, and the Democrats have taken all that away. And I'll say it again. Every day on this station, Tim Jones and Chris Arps do an afternoon show, and they have what we call an open, a show open, right? And there's music playing, and you hear Tim talking, and you hear Chris talking. And one of the things that Tim says is, and I'll never get this right, so I'll have to paraphrase, but the more you take away voting from Election Day, the more you are giving people the chance to commit fraud. And we have to get that message out. And get voting back at the polls election day and election day only. Do you know the Lauren Boebert election still has not been called? Her opponent conceded. And I get it. It's a runoff. You got to do a runoff. You got to wait for the runoff. But when your opponent says there's no clear path to victory for me, then that means it's over. But it's Colorado. You know, thank God they all smoke dope out there. So that's great. So they're all clear thinking. But I just don't understand how we let it happen. We lost control of our country. Okay? And you can blame the mainstream media. You can blame cheating Democrats, which absolutely both happen. But we let it happen. We let it happen. We lost control of our country. All right. We lost connection with Dick Morris. And I really wanted to hear what he had to say about voting, about this guy, Jim Baker. So the Twitter files was released. Matt Taibbi, who is no conservative, by the way, liberal guy, wrote for Rolling Stone magazine for years and years. He now writes, I guess, Substack. I guess he's part of the Substack nation. And he released all these files in a long, long tweet. And that was just part one, okay? But what we didn't know at the time, and we know now, is this guy, Jim Baker, who is a lawyer. He was a lawyer for the government. And he was part of... the Russian collusion hoax, okay? Part of the Steele dossier thing. He is a never-Trumper. And he's not even a Republican. Usually we call Republicans never-Trumpers who don't like Trump. But he is a scoundrel, is what he is. And he was the one in charge with vetting the files that Matt Taibbi reported on, and Elon Musk gave to Matt Taibbi to report to, right? So now this guy, Jim Baker, has been fired for suppression of information, which is what Twitter did, right? Before Elon Musk took over. And the damage is already done, though. So Matt Taibbi, who I just mentioned, in a tweet from yesterday said, over the weekend, while we both dealt with obstacles to new searches, it was Barry Weiss, you remember her, she wrote for the New York Times, she couldn't take it anymore, the leftist bias of the New York Times, so she left the New York Times, and I think she's a Substacker too now. She discovered that the person in charge of releasing the files was somebody named Jim. When she called to ask Jim's last name, the answer came back, Jim Baker. And... you know, it's just astounding to me. She said my jaw hit the floor when I found out it was Jim Baker. So now Barry Weiss is going to release the rest of the story, and we don't know who's going to vet that. Who's going to say that these files are okay for people to see? Who knows? Who knows what's going to be the outcome of this? But it does show you that everything that Ken and I have said on this radio station has happened, okay? We sounded like crazy conspiracy theorists, all right? We stream on YouTube, but we stream as individual shows, right? It used to be the News Talk STL channel on YouTube. Now we stream as individual shows. But when we were streaming as a station, the words ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine came up, and we got yelled at, right? We got these notices from YouTube to see, you know, what was going on, and they suspended us. And then me, when we were talking to Douglas Blair, who worked at the Daily Signal at the time, said that there was a poll that said that a majority of people thought that the 2020 election was stolen. And then they suspended us for good for that. And that's the kind of thing that's happening at Twitter, or was happening at Twitter. And I guess we'll find out when we get the rest of the story from Barry Weiss and the other files that came out of Twitter. Dick, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there, but we lost you, but we got you back. So you were saying that, the Democrats have learned how to vote using technology, and that's where we got cut off. So continue from there, please.
Yeah. So we lost Georgia. Okay. We lost it by about 30,000 votes. But Herschel Walker went into Election Day down 240,000 votes to early voting. He was just, he's a star, and he made up 210,000 of it, but he lost by 30.
Right.
And there's nothing new about that. In Georgia, in the election of 2020, the Democrats got 2.6 million early votes. We got 1.4 million. In Pennsylvania in 2020, the Democrats got 1.7, we got 600,000. In Michigan in 2020, the Democrats got 1.7 million, we got 900,000. So what the hell do you expect?
Right.
We go into these elections so far behind, there's no way to catch up.
Yeah.
And people are making up, the Democrats are gleefully trying to get us to blame each other.
Yeah.
It's the lack of funding by McConnell. It's Donald Trump dragged the ticket down. It's all kinds of stuff, but it's not what it really is, which is the simple mechanical matter of when you cast your vote and how you cast it.
So, Dick, you've been following politics for a long, long time. Is there any way, in your estimation, that we can get back to Election Day and count the votes?
No.
Florida somehow counted all their votes in one day. Lauren Boebert's election in Colorado still hasn't been called. Can we ever get back to normal?
Yeah, but in Florida, there's a tradition of early voting, and almost half of the votes are cast early.
Oh.
That's why they can do it in the same day.
Got it.
Look, you can't get back to that, and you're not going to get back to a horse and buggy taking you to the polling place on election day either. And there's nothing wrong with this. Republicans don't do it because they're worried that the votes will be stolen. Now, if you put them in a drop box, you're nuts, and your vote will never see the light of day again if you're a Republican. But the U.S. Post Office and in-person early voting, those are foolproof. There's never been a story of that stuff not being delivered. If they don't, it's a federal felony. So these votes all get counted. And it's ridiculous that Republicans don't take advantage of this.
You know, you mentioned a pride in voting on Election Day, and when we got cut off there when you were gone, I have a vote coat. I call it my vote coat. It's a long black coat, and it's got an American flag on the lapel, and that's what I wear when I vote, because it is a pride in going on Election Day and going into the voting booth and casting your vote.
Yeah, well, get over it. use the coat to keep you warm.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The other thing, let me just say, which I think is important to Republicans who've suffered such defeats recently. I wrote this book that I'm promoting now called The Return, Trump Speak 2024 Comeback. And Trump is going to win this next election in 24. And it's very simple why. The economy is falling apart. And there is vast layoffs, vast unemployment coming. You can already see it. And in every one of these major firms has announced huge layoffs, and that's pre-Christmas. What's going to happen after is even worse.
Right.
And, you know, you go to some pundit in 1931, and you say, do you think Roosevelt has a chance against Hoover? The answer is, yeah. He can't lose because of the depression and the unemployment and everything else. And that's the situation we're in. If Donald Trump wins the Republican nomination, I think he has a lock on it, there is no way he's not going to be president. Because with this economy and this unemployment, inevitably the Republicans are going to win. Now you come back at me and you say, well, what about inflation this time? It didn't do the trick. And the answer is that a third of the vote is immune to inflation. They don't give a damn. They're on Social Security COLAs. They're on cost of living contracts in private sector. They get welfare or food stamps or disability, which are all indexed for inflation. Let the inflation happen. The prices go up by 10%. Hey, goody. My Social Security check goes up by 10%. And the people who are left are the rest of us who are not protected, not the favored constituencies of the Democratic Party, but we got outvoted. And, the unemployment affects everybody, not just that you lose your job, but people in your family lose their jobs or in your community, or the people who lose their jobs can't patronize your store, and you suffer. It ripples through the whole economy horribly. And that, unfortunately, is the fate that Biden's spending has bequeathed to us, and we have no alternative but to go through it now. And the Democrats are going to pay the political price.
All right, listen, we're talking to Dick Morris, political genius. This is the MAGA show you're talking to here, okay? I am an absolute Trump supporter. My friend Ken across the way there is an absolute Trump supporter, and we are on the Trump train. But what I don't understand is, what was the problem with the Trump presidency? Was it keeping his promise to move the embassy, the U.S. embassy,
None.
To Jerusalem?
None.
Right? Was it the Abraham Accords? Was it peace? Was it low unemployment? Low unemployment for blacks? Our 401ks went up. What was the problem?
Yeah. Income for the average American household rose by $100 a week after taxes, after inflation. $100 a week. And nothing was wrong. It was the most brilliant presidency we've had in decades. I believe he deserves not just re-election, but they need to move over on Mount Rushmore and give him a place up there.
I'm for that. I'm all up for that.
Yeah, so I mean, nothing. But the Democrats have maneuvered this since, basically, I think, stealing the election in 2020 and building on that. But we are playing into their hands now. They're no longer stealing these elections. They're winning them, not on merit, not on arguments, but because we don't know how to vote and they do.
Yep. I think also part of it is the messaging, you know, not the messaging from the candidates or from the party. But when I say messaging, I mean, you know, the crooked mainstream media, you know, well, they're not accountable for what they say or for what they don't say anymore. It's
yeah, but. But we overcome that. Our people are used to that, and we would overcome that. The thing we can't overcome is that our folks do not know how to vote. Period.
Yep. All right. So you're in constant contact with Donald Trump. Tell him we love him. We'd love to have him on the air. Tell us about the book. How do we get the book?
The book's called The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. And fortunately, it has not been banned yet.
Oh, it will. But, no, okay, it better not.
But you can get it under the wire. And it's a game plan for how Trump can win. A lot of what I've just been talking about is the first chapter of the book. And there's the stuff is how it has to be Trump, how it can't be a kinder, gentler Trump. It's got to be the one we see. How he reaches out to blue-collar voters and Latinos and black men in a way nobody else does. And it's completely full of how Trump is going to win and the way he's going to put it together. You know, I wrote a book in 2016 called How Trump Can Beat Hillary, called Armageddon.
Huh.
And it sold hugely, and Trump used it as kind of a game plan. And now I wrote this as a sequel.
I love it. Hey, as we get into this election season and into, 2023, 2024, let's keep in touch. Tell the president we want to talk to him. And we'll look over your shoulder for Hillary behind you all the time, okay?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, every Christmas she sends me a card, but it has white powder wrap it, so I don't open it.
Dick Morris, so great to talk to you. Let's do it again sometime, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
God, he is funny as heck, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
How did he work for the Clintons and not end up dead?
No kidding.
You know?
Get suicided.
And it's not like it's a joke.
No.
It's not like it's a joke.
No.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Biden would say not a joke. All right, Mark Carter from the St. Louis County Council joined us at 10:41. More Christmas presents for you in our conservative Christmas contest. That's next on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home and whoosh, my brothers and sisters.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. You're listening to The Vic Porcelli Show.
You're very good. You are very good.
Made in St. Louis for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
You are very good.
You are.
Is this the Leroy Anderson version? This is, right?
Yeah, I think so.
This is the version that's got the Let's Go Blues thing in it.
Oh, does it?
When the horns go, dun, 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 dun,
oh,
dun,
okay.
Dun, 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 Let's Go Blues.
Oh, okay.
Happens a little bit. Keep it up. We'll have a little
fun. Yeah.
All right, so conservative Christmas is what it's all about here at 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Here's how you win. You go to our website, newstalkstl.com. Enter to win. Enter as many times as you want to win. It increases your chances. And then we read the names out on the air of people who get Christmas presents. And our winner right now is Sharon Solomon. Doesn't she get applause?
Yeah.
She won a pair of tickets to the City Museum downtown. So, Sharon, thank you so much for listening. And turn it up. I think it's coming up right now. Here we go. Let's go, Blues. It's the horns.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
The strings are doing one thing and the horns are doing Let's Go Blues. All right, so Sharon, congratulations. Enjoy your day at the City Museum on us, and thanks for entering our conservative Christmas contest at News Talk STL. All right, Ken, we got to get serious. One of those terrible yeah. days in history that happened on this day in history in 1941.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
So that was FDR. On December 8th, 1941, addressing both houses of Congress. And that was basically a declaration of war on Japan.
Pulled us right in there.
And, you know, I didn't know how far to go with that, Ken. It went on for a couple of minutes, but he also talks about how we were at peace with Japan. What are you guys doing? What's going on? You know?
Yeah.
Why'd you do this? Why'd you attack us? And, you know, there was a mistake they made that they regretted forever.
To this day, yeah.
Yeah. And until 9/11, you know, the worst attack on Americans. And Hawaii wasn't even a state yet, by the way.
Yeah, my Uncle Kenneth was there.
He was at Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. He saw it happening. He was on his way to one of the depots, you know, that they have the petroleum products and all that stuff.
God, Ken.
Yeah.
Wow.
He talked to my mom about it. I never got to talk to him about it, but yeah. He was my namesake. Well, I was his namesake.
Ken Williams, yeah. All right. So anyway, that's what happened on this day in 1941, Pearl Harbor Day. Terrible day. A day that will live in infamy, of course. All right. Can we check the chat box?
Yeah.
Can we do that? Let's get some chat box music there. Kenny! Whoosh, you Vic heads. 775 days and 3 hours left to Sleepy Joe. Meredith says hello. Meredith, how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
We like Meredith. So she sent me a message on Facebook that I'm terrible with answering people. Just ask Ken. I don't even answer him when he... He says, she says, Meredith says, I was interested in your thoughts on this whole Twitter thing. Well, Meredith, there's not enough time right now. Can we dedicate a segment tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do.
To my thoughts on this Twitter thing, which changes every single day.
Yeah, it changes every day anyway, so we might as well get up to speed tomorrow.
Exactly,
so.
Right. Let's wait and see. Barry Weiss is going to release some files to Meredith, and then we'll give you exactly what we think about that. So thank you so much. She's a dedicated listener. Dave Stouffer says, where's the cats?
I had the wrong slate up.
What does that mean?
We were being seen, but Mike Ferguson's name was above you, and it wasn't the... It was the morning show still. Mm. I had the wrong one up.
Scotty says, good morning, gents and fellow Vickheads. Have a great day. Good morning, Vickheads, from Susie Moore. Here's a new name, Ken. Stan Jung.
What's up, Stan? Young?
Jung. Good morning, all you Vickheads. Sorry I messed up your name. It's what I do. The Petadores are out in force today. Ultra MAGA dishwashing liquid mad you're soaking in it. J.W. Sanders. There's somebody new. Wow. This audience is growing.
We love it. Vickheads are growing.
That sounded almost
okay.
Dirty.
Yeah.
But we should have We should get together, get some sponsors, get a restaurant or something, and have a Vic Head happy hour.
Yes.
5 o'clock on a Friday.
Yep.
Let's get together, have some cocktails. Everybody gets to meet, you know. Let's not wait for another anniversary show, you know. And if you do it early enough in the night, Grant can come because he's got to go to bed at 6 o'clock or whatever because he's got to get up at an unbelievable time in the morning. Anyway, J.W. Sanders says, good morning, Ultra Mega Freedom Loving Vic and Ken. Go with that bad mood, Vic. Let it all out.
Yeah.
Speaking what we're all thinking this morning. Screw the Never Trumpers.
That's right.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a guy.
Well,
person. Yes.
Maybe.
It's because of them we're dealing with what we're dealing with right now. Let them all have it. Boy, that just revved me up.
I know.
That just revved me up. Kristen commented on Larry Bird. Our Bird, Larry. God, I miss Larry.
It was
so
funny. I don't know why. It just struck me so. Because the way you kept saying, yeah, my bird, Larry. Yeah, Larry. Yeah, Larry Bird.
Right. Ken, he was green. He was a green parrot. So you got a bird that's green. What else do you name it?
No, what else do you name it?
Right. God, I miss Larry Bird so much, too. And let me tell you, we had Larry from, like, almost right out of the egg. He was such a little tiny baby.
He stuck his head out of the egg and said, Vic!
Jessica had to feed it with a little, like, you know, like an eyedropper kind of thing? Fed him with a little eyedropper.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. He was great, man. He was great. And he was the house noise impressionist, you know? Like, he would do when you turn on the oven, beep, beep, he'd do beep, beep. And he'd do it before you did it, because he knew when you were going over there, you were going to do it. The alarm, everything. Every noise in the house, he did, but he didn't talk. That's the only thing he didn't do. I love all this encouragement to be mad. Phil Valencia, my new friend and my new neighbor. Well, he's not a new neighbor. He's a new. He's a neighbor that I didn't know he was. He said California's a hellhole. It is. Uh-oh, Stan knows Phil. Hey, Phil. Edward Hubbard. Ken, what are all these new people? This is great. Are people actually listening to the show?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm neck deep in the separation and the Second Amendment stuff.
Okay.
What's that mean?
He might mean reparation. I'm guessing. I could be completely wrong. I know what Second Amendment means, though.
Yeah, no kidding. Edward, welcome to the best show in the Midwest. Who wrote that? God, I love these people. Love them. All right.
Is this because of the $5 promotion that if you say you listen to it, you get $5?
Oh, that's what that is.
That's what that is. I thought I saw that on the billboard.
You weren't supposed to say anything, though.
40-64.
Not supposed to say anything.
$5. Man, we're cheap.
Mark Harder's in here.
Holy cow. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the people that listen to this station. I love the people that listen to this show. They are ultra MAGA Vic Head crowd. And did I mention Kristen was talking about that she loves the name Larry Bird? Sorry, we got off on the Larry Bird conversation. I didn't mention that it was inspired by Kristen's comment.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love the name. Larry Bird.
It was perfect.
Great. Yeah.
You're making fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. I think it was funny.
Perfect name for that
bird. So funny because I know you would do that. Hey, Jess, get this. Okay, he's green. He's a bird. What do you think I'm going to call him, Jess? And she probably said, Larry.
Right. She just goes along with it. When we first got Muddy, our dog Muddy.
Yeah.
We were going to name it, and I was like, I like naming dogs after things. Like, right now, all our dogs and cats are named after musical theater characters, you know?
Yeah.
But she was like, I was like, should we call him Wolf, maybe for Howlin' Wolf? And she goes, no, stupid. And I said, how about Muddy? She goes, oh, Muddy. That's a good name. That's a good dog name, Muddy.
Muddy.
Right?
Yeah.
He was named after Muddy Waters. All right. The council person of council people coming up next. I wish we had one that we could play that said, County Executive Mark Harder. But maybe one day we'll get there. I don't know.
You never and know. We got Zena.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Zena's on the phone. She'll join us, too, from Georgia. Didn't work out for Zena, but we'll talk to you and Mark next on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
You're listening to the Vic Porcelli Show.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back
on News Talk STL.
Welcome home to 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Vic Porcelli. That's Ken Williams. We were just talking about the new Sebastian Maniscalco special started yesterday. I don't know what you say. released, dropped. I mean, I don't know what the word is, but you can get it on Netflix now. And it's from Las Vegas, and he's wearing a tuxedo. And I think that was a mistake, actually, because he couldn't be as animated as he was in a lot of the other specials that he did. But it was good. It was funny. And I liked it a lot. But it, I don't know.
I like the way you danced across the floor, and you could see it on the stream.
Okay, so that wasn't dancing. Okay, let me explain. The one routine that he did that really put him in a big spotlight was when your doorbell rings now as opposed to 20 years ago.
Okay.
Right? When your doorbell rang 20 years ago, everybody shot up off the couch, raced the, look who's here, look, we got company, come on in, have some cake, have some coffee. And now when your doorbell rings, you're like, what the? Everybody get down. Did anybody invite anybody over? Did anybody invite anybody over? So, anyway, the new special's out, and I like it. Okay, I declare a new St. Louis County Council, the four of us.
Okay.
So, let's get rolling.
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. County of St. Louis.
He'll be the
crime
county
issues,
executive.
Economic development. Yeah.
Councilman of Councilpersons.
We voted to end the mask mandate for St. Louis County.
This is Mark Harder.
Try to imagine St. Louis County Council meetings with Mark Harder, the county executive, Ken Williams, Zena Hackworth, and me. That's it. That's all we need.
That's entertainment.
That would be entertainment. And we'd run a tight ship.
That's right.
Right.
Speaking of tight ships, let's not talk over Mark's intro next time. We were kind of talking over it. I looked at him and he kind of gave a look like, hey, what's going on?
You mad that I talked over your intro?
You know.
That we've heard 5,000 times? Everybody could say it by heart and say along?
Probably need a new one for 2023, maybe.
I can't get any more robust and presidential than that one.
Do you want one that says you're the president of the United States? I'm totally okay with that.
I'm the whoosh king of the county.
That's no right. joke.
Well, then you do give me more harder. Is that what instead of Biden? Is that what you're
play me some harder? Zena Hackworth joins us from the great state of Georgia. Good morning, Zena. How are you?
Good morning. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Good morning. Doing okay this morning.
Even though the results were not what we wanted.
Right. It was not what we wanted. But I still had a great time at the victory party last night.
So what did you see? Did you see anything funny? Any funny business?
You know what? The only thing I can say is that I don't think the Republican Party really came out for Herschel Walker in this race.
Bingo.
Because, I'm sorry?
Bingo.
Right, I'm talking about the establishment Republican Party.
Right.
And, you know, because I was supposed to be here earlier in the week, and then everything fell apart because all the events that were supposed to happen didn't happen. And so I decided on Sunday morning, I told my husband, I said, you know what, do you mind if I just go on down to Georgia? And he said, oh, sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
So I got down here, I called the Republican Party at their headquarters here in Atlanta, and I got a recording.
Oh, my God. They don't
care.
2 days
in a row.
They just don't care.
I'm just thinking, wait a minute. We have this election going on. I'm driving all the way down here to see what I can do at the last minute, and no one answers the phone.
That's great. What do you think?
Right before the election.
Sounds like Zena went down to Georgia.
And looking for a soul to steal.
That's right.
So what do you think about the lack of support that Republican candidates are getting?
I'm not that familiar with this race in particular, but yeah, that does happen. And some people, unfortunately, in our party tend to take their ball and go home if their person didn't get elected, say in a primary.
Or if the person is a Trump endorsee, right? They just
don't get the excitement, so they just stay home. And whereas the Democrats tend to, you know, they fight like cats and dogs through the primary, but whoever is their nominee, they seem to rally around that person no matter what. Even if they hate them, they'll still vote for them. Yeah. And that's why they can, you know, monopolize these different elections.
We're fractured. As a party, the Republican Party is fractured. Right, Ken?
Yeah. What do you think, Zena? I mean, I was going to ask Zena about if she saw a bunch of MAGA people down there, how that was going.
Well, I did see quite a few MAGA people down here, but it is fractured. But what surprised me the most, which probably shouldn't, is that the ignorant level, and I mean that in the truest definition of the word, sure. Not the insult.
Right.
And you know, the ignorance level of the people who are voting, they have no clue. Especially, you know, people in the Democrat, they don't even know what they're voting for. And this is what bothers me so much. And on the Republican side, we should know what we're voting for. But it seems like so many of them just thought, well, you know, let's just give it to Warnock. No, we can't do that. We're losing our nation.
Yeah, that's right. So, and by the way, I'm sorry, we'll get to the council meeting right after this comment. What happened to the Fonz? Henry Winkler said, we need a candidate who can string a sentence together as an insult to Herschel Walker.
Wow.
Digest that
for a minute.
That surprises me.
And then went on Twitter with that tweet. Everybody said, oh, yeah, like John Fetterman can string a sentence together. Now, all of a sudden, stringing a sentence together is important, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, Mark, what happened last night at the big county council meeting? How's my girlfriend Faye Dunaway doing, and Lisa Clancy? Are they doing good?
Yeah, they're doing good. I think Ms. Clancy was uncharacteristically quiet last night, and she didn't have her mask on. So,
oh, my God, she's a heathen.
So I guess the next pandemic is over with again. So, but, yeah, no, it was fairly a quick meeting. We were only in there about 45 minutes. We've been working on budget issues. We only had three speakers. So from that standpoint, things moved pretty quickly as we got through all the agenda items. And we're going to be having some more budget meetings coming up, trying to reconcile this $40 million hole in our budget. So we're talking about that. But I wanted to say today is, you know, yesterday was the filing for school boards around the area and for municipal elections. And I just want to say that we need conservatives in our community to get out and file for these positions. I don't care what school district you're in. If you're in Wildwood or you're in, Jennings or you're in wherever, we need conservatives to step up. 1, 2, 3. There's always 2 to 3 positions open every April. This is for the April election.
Can I ask a stupid question about the school board elections? Do you have to have a kid in the school to run for the school board?
No, you do not.
Okay.
And so that's the other piece. We need people that don't have kids in the school because then they can represent the taxpayers that are funding these school districts without having kids in these, whether they're sending the kids to private school or they don't have any kids or their kids are grown. Those people need to be represented on these boards.
I agree.
Not NEA backed candidates. And they will get their candidates. If there's three positions open, they'll get three NEA backed candidates. So we need at least three conservatives on every one of these boards.
So the filing period is open.
It's open now until I think it's 3 weeks from now.
It said 3 weeks. Oh,
yeah.
Cow.
So it's a window that opens up, you file, and then they close it, and then it's on to April for the election. But we've got to get people. Everybody talks on your show and other shows and what we got to do with the school districts and all this kind of stuff. And so I want to motivate some young families out there, both, you know, moms and dads, uncles, grandpas, whatever it is, that, okay, the time to stop talking about these schools is over with and we need to do things. So we can only do that if you get people on these boards. And we've seen it in Rockwood and other places. When you put people on there that start to push back, you start to get results. If you don't, you don't get the results that we all want out of these school districts.
Now, hopefully, Zena and Mark, with this whole Twitter file story that's going on, right, with suppression of stories and, you know, suppressing conservatives, because we had people who were running for school boards who were conservatives who had their campaign site taken down from Facebook, you know, and Twitter. So we want to help, but we don't want to hurt, you know. I mean, is 10 minutes on a radio station better than losing your account that'll be there forever?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but at the same time, they will play dirty. NEA will play dirty. We saw that in the Rockwood School District, the Parkway School District. But you got, if you really care about our kids' education, about what's going on, what's being allowed, what's not being allowed in our schools today, and we see it every day on Facebook and Twitter and other places, Instagram. We've got to stand up right now. I mean, it's a it's pretty much a one or two meeting a month commitment. You don't get paid, but if you value your kids' education and what they're being influenced by that's being introduced in these schools, you need to step up. And we need those people to give at least, you may not win every battle, but you have to have we have to have our voice at that table. And those boards that ultimately hire and fire these superintendents. Mm-hmm. And so by having that ability, gives us more clout, the conservatives' clout at that table. And standing up at the podium is great every meeting and can, you know, complaining about what's going on, but until you get behind that board and get a place on that board, you're not going to affect change the way that needs to be done in these schools.
And speaking of superintendents, the superintendent in Virginia at the school where the girl was raped in the bathroom by a boy wearing a skirt got fired, finally, or left, at least.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my point is, we can get things done.
We can get things done.
It may take a while, but we got to get things done. Zena, what are your thoughts on all this?
I totally agree. I know there's not a lot of time, but I disagree with everything you say. That's pretty much it.
She agrees. Yeah,
she does agree.
I agree.
Yeah.
And but I do want to say something real quick, that has nothing to do with what you were talking about.
Okay, go.
That's the election last night. As we were watching the results, It became so real and clear to me how much every single vote counts. Yeah. I know I always say that, but when I see the votes are in the millions and there's a difference of maybe 300 to 1,700 votes coming and going, I think people need to understand that we can't win without their vote.
Exactly, so. Right.
And in our society right now is a 50-50 society. Yep. So winning these elections and losing them is going to be that fraction of a percent going forward in almost all these races. So that should tell you that every vote counts, that everybody in a household needs to get out and vote no matter what the election is.
Yeah. This country is really divided, and I don't see any going back at this point. I really don't. I think it's going to be this way forever.
But again, at the same time, you know, Zena and Mark, Vic and I were talking about how we should not be reaching across the aisle to compromise either. At this point, right. I mean, it should be on a temporary hold because they're not going to. They're going to nudge forward and push and then stay where they are. They're not going to compromise.
Well, and we've got to decide what hills we want to die on. What are the things that there's no compromise. Yes, there's always a compromise in politics, but there are things that we do not compromise on because there are things they will not compromise
on. That's right. That's right.
So why do we have to be the person extending our hand first? So we've got to decide what are the things we won't take, we won't change on, and then try to find some middle ground on other issues.
I'm sorry, but real quick, Hakeem Jeffries, he's the new Senate Majority Leader, right? He said, well, we're going to try and work with the Republicans on things that we've already
passed. Yeah, I don't want his help.
Passed.
Right? We don't want his help. Zena, what do you think about reaching across the aisle?
All they're going to do is bite your hand when you reach across the aisle.
That's right. That's right.
So, that's my thought. Because they don't care. They want to destroy this nation. They want to destroy us. They want to silence us. And if we reach across the aisle, and that's the problem, you know, we need to learn. We actually can learn an awful lot from the other side because they will not back down. They will not. They will just keep pushing forward like you were just saying.
Yep.
And they could care less about what we want, and they could care less about reaching out to us. They'll say things on trivial things that really don't make a difference. They'll say we're reaching across the aisle. But they're not going to reach across the aisle on things that of substance that really mean something to this nation and to us as a nation and as free citizens.
Yep. All right, that music means we're up against a hard break. Mark Carter, thanks so much. Keep working on that Vic Porcelli Memorial Roadway.
It's coming.
Baxter Road. Zena, safe trip home, okay?
Thank you.
Be safe, Zena.
Thanks for having the record player on at night to listen to us this morning.
Make sure you have the record player on at night.
And Dan Bongino coming up next on 101.9. Jimmy Failla on 94.1. Kenny and I will see you tomorrow morning at 9 on 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.